So I'm just going to actually do the whole Bible today. Is that all right? So sit back, relax. Like, no! Actually, the word I've been given today, I got when I was on a residential with the Eden team in Derbyshire. See, that's my home county, you see. So God actually, it was really good to go back. It was really good to hear God kind of just reaffirm stuff that we already know, and what I probably already know, but the story never gets old, does it? You know, there's always a little bit more. There's always a little bit more. And I had a privilege last night to going down to Bradford Cathedral. Who's been down to Bradford Cathedral? It's beautiful, isn't it? I was like, yeah, I really loved it. But Emma, who's here today, was being confirmed. But I love what they did. Basically, they did probably a lot better version that I'm going to do. But they basically went through the whole Bible, all in short bits, just so that we understand that all of creation, all of history, pointed to that moment in time when Jesus burst through the grave. And it was a really good confirmation for me. I'm just going to start off by reading this verse, then I'm going to try and explain this verse and the whole of the Bible and the resurrection in about 10 minutes using children. So are you with me? We are flying by the seat of our pants this morning, Tamboy. So this is from Romans 8, verse 10. Romans 8, the whole chapter. If you're ever feeling down, if you ever feel that you want to hear God's voice, read Romans 8, my favourite chapter out of all the Bible. But this, Romans 8, verse 10. But. What did I say?
But.
Well done. So the kids are listening. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, because of what?
Sin.
Well done. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Say righteousness.
Righteousness.
Well done, church. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. That's it. That's the gospel message. So it's been nice seeing you. No, this says it all. This ties up everything from me. But let's explain it. God made everything. What did He make?
Everything.
He made you, you, you. So in the beginning, God created the earth, the world, and everything in it. And then He created Adam and Eve. Now, I need an Adam and Eve. Okay. Which one are you?
Adam.
So, here, Simi, stand up. Simi, stand up. Put that round your head, because you're Eve. Oh, what a beautiful... I'm not sure Eve was doing this, a bit censored that. Avert your eyes, church. So Adam and Eve, God created you, and He said, you are very good. What did He say you are?
Good.
Did you? No.
Very good.
Did you hear that, Mum? Very good. And God breathed life into you. This cup He gave to you, to both of you. In fact, He gave a cup to all of us. He breathed life. This is the cup of... Oi, I need you in a minute. You over there. Yes, please, quick. You come in a minute. There, right. So, this is the cup of life. You all have a cup of life. Now, it doesn't matter how much you drink, that cup will never go empty. It's overflowing. Even if you turn it upside down and poured it out, there's nothing in there, because I'm working with children, remember. Even if you two try pouring it out, try and pour it out, it's still full and it still overflows. And when you drink from that cup, it's the sign of your life, eternal life. So have a drink of the cup. Yummy. What does it taste like?
Nothing.
Nothing. Thanks. So you've got the cup of life. God has given you that. That is eternal life. It was never going to stop flowing. It is overflowing. But there was someone in the garden. Mr. Bad Snake. Stand up, Mr. Bad Snake. So Mr. Bad Snake didn't like God. Boo. Mr. Bad Snake didn't like Adam and Eve.
Boo.
Boo. And Mr. Bad Snake understood that God had gave him one rule. Just one rule. Not to eat poo. No. Not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and
evil.
Say that again.
Evil.
Evil. He's good, isn't he? A bit too good, some may say. So Eve, come on, Eve, you need to put your... Hang on a minute, let's make you a bit more decorative. There you are. Rainbow Eve, there you are. Eve was in the garden picking fruit. Adam was supping from the cup of life. And Mr. Bad Snake came and said to Eve... Gosh, you don't even need a script. Say that again.
Eat that fruit.
Eat the fruit. And he said, oh no, God said, if we eat the fruit, we would die. Oh, we got Judah muscling in here. That's good. Okay, all right, guys, work with me here. And Mr. Bad Snake said, surely you actually die, will you? And just look at that fruit. It looks so tasty. And Eve thought, tasty fruit. Okay, so you took the fruit and you ate it. And then the Mr. Bad Snake went away laughing.
Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you. Right. Come here. Eve, come here. Now, Eve didn't actually die, did she? But there was an exchange. Because what actually happened at that moment is that Eve traded her cup of life to a cup of death. This cup, which never could be emptied, could never got rid of, because it belongs to Eve and to you, from the cup of life came a cup of death. And because death flowed from this cup, you had to get kicked out, both of you, get kicked out, poof, out of the garden. And you wandered the lands. So wander around, kids, go wandering around. But you all had this cup of death. And wherever you went, death went. Bad things happened. So the crops didn't grow. So you had to work really hard digging the ground to get food out of it. And then death brought jealousy and hatred into your heart. So you started fighting with each other. I know you'll be good at this. Give me that cup before I use it as a weapon. And then you thought, actually, we don't even need God. We're better than God. So you started to worship other things like money, women. No, it's women. You guys are enjoying this a bit too much. And then came wars and battles. And country set against country, people set against people. But all the time this was happening, the gap between you and God was getting bigger and bigger. And you still had this cup. Now, some of you didn't like this cup. And some of you still knew God. But because you had the cup of death and God holds the cup of life, actually death can't come near God. Your bad stuff cannot get near God. So you're stuck with death and God has got the cup of life. So what he did, he said, okay, I've got an idea. Well, it's a bit more an idea. I've got a plan. And it starts off like this. For you to make yourself clean, you have to kill an animal. What animal do you have to kill? Something that is innocent. Something that is spotless. Something that would represent something good rather than something bad. See, God chose a lamb. He said, if you take this lamb and you kill it, and that blood will make you right with me. But it still didn't take away this cup of death. It just means that you could get a bit closer to God. So you're all stuck with this cup of death. And there was only one answer. The answer was Jesus. Jesus came into the world. He was born through the Virgin Mary. So God planted his life into Mary. Pure. The Lamb. Spotless. And Jesus led a perfect life. He didn't have a cup of death. He had the cup of life. And he shared that cup of life with all around him. Because wherever Jesus went, life followed. So if you were sick, you were made well. Because Jesus had the cup of life. If you were in turmoil, if you were angry, if you were upset, Jesus' words would make it all right. Because his words are life. And then he gathered his friends. And he went round sharing this life and teaching this life. But even though Jesus was sharing this cup of life, all of us were still stuck with a cup of death. We couldn't get rid of it. We could throw it away, but it will always come back to us. We can't empty it. We drink it, and all it does is bring destruction to our lives. And then, the Holy Week, as we know it, Jesus sat with his friends and ate a meal. Then he went into the garden and he prayed. What did he pray?
Please God, is there another way?
Please God, take this cup away. Take this cup away. Your cup. My cup. Everyone's cup. It wasn't Jesus's. His cup was full of life. Jesus got down his knees and said, take this cup away. Because he was the only one who could actually drink it. He's the one who knew that if he actually drank it, he would die. Not because of the cup made him die, because he chose to die. He said, Father, there's another way. Take Gavin's cup away from me. Take Jade's cup away from me. But not my will, Father, your will. I believe at that moment he drank that cup. He drank your cup in obedience to the Father. And then he, with his belly full of your poison, your death, your sin, he went to the cross. And he cried out on the cross, Father, Father, Why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment in history, God, the Father, turned his back on his son because he drank your cup. He was full of your sin, your wrongs, your mistakes. But Jesus still, even with his Father's back turned to him, and hearing the mocking crowd, he said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they've done." And then he finished it saying, "Father, I commit my spirit. I hand over myself to death. It is finished." And the cup fell empty, clean, at the cross, and the people disappeared, and Jesus was put into a tomb. Three days later, Jesus didn't just rise from the dead. He rose forth with a new cup. Not just a clean cup, but a cup of life. And he says, "Come to me. All that will drink from my cup will live. All those that believe in me will receive the cup of life. Clean, unblemished, overflowing." That is why I believe in Jesus. That is why Jesus' resurrection sums up the whole Bible. That's why we need to choose to say sorry. Because your cup is full of things that you know. Sometimes you wish you can just get rid of it, but you can't. You can't. You can't seem to fix it. You can't seem to empty it. It's a thing that haunts you. But all those who come to Jesus need to remember that he's already drank your cup. He's emptied it. He was the only person in the universe that could have done that. And he gives you a cup of life. There's only one way to respond, really, I feel. And that's to share communion, the cup of life. It's a celebration of Jesus bringing forth life, beating death. But also it's another opportunity for us to exchange things in our lives, things that bring death to us, that bring separation, put us in a place away from God. To recognize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, what we're going to do, we're going to start off with the children, because the kingdom of God belongs to the little ones. And we're going to come to this table as a family in a place of not just celebrating and remembering what Jesus has done, but actually drinking the cup of life. So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." Shekinah. And then Jesus took the cup of life and said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Come and drink." Thanks, guys. So, I invite you to come and take communion. Come and share in his body and his blood. See, it is an opportunity of praise of what God is bringing. But maybe for some of you this morning, you need to actually put stuff down. Let him come and clean you out. This is what he died for, and this is what he rose again for you, for me, for them. So I think what we'll do is we'll put on some music. And I just invite you to